go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 98 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. My legs are crossed, so right now I am going to uncross my legs because if you follow some personalities who are very vocal in the, the red pill community, they will let you know very often that having your legs crossed, that is a signal to the world that you are a beta male. So a guy who has his legs crossed in public, that he's telling the world that his wife or his spouse or girlfriend, of which I have don't have any of those, but if you do have one of those, it's telling the world that your partner is going to cheat on you and have a child with a alpha male and pawn that child off as being your genetical baby, and you're going to be trapped raising that baby for 18 years and not knowing that it's not your child. And that's all because of the green lines theory, which states that if you do not show your piece, for me, I call him Mr. Perfect, to the world, if he's not out in the open with your legs out, uncrossed, that is a verbal signal to the world. These are the things I read about online on the internet instead of reading novels and history books and really soaking knowledge that I can actually use. That's not where I wanted to start episode 98. We are creeping up on 100 in a couple episodes, but that's two episodes away. There has been something on the B-Man's mind last couple years, especially so the last few weeks. It's really kind of hit me. And maybe this is because I'm an artist. I know, stand-up, verbal graffiti. Is that really art? I use that term very loosely, non-pretentiously. It just allow me to say the term artist and not, you know, use it. Oh, you're a fucking artist. I'm just a guy who I'm a creator of whatever fucked up art this is. But like I believe in authenticity, in originality, in being your own and not stealing from others. So I know it's not me, but people, friends, family, coworkers, everybody seems to do this thing where they'll DM me, and I'll use me for an example because I'm talking about my life. They'll DM me or they'll text or Apple message me like a meme or a reel or a short of something that's funny, but it's not their funny. Like, it's not the person who sent me the meme did not make the meme. They found the meme somewhere else on the internet. They thought it was funny. They pressed the save or they just ripped it up. They sent it to me. And then I don't know if the person who sends it, do they think they're funny for finding that meme and sending it to me? Or in your case, sending it to you? Like, you're not funny, right? You're not funny. It's very similar to pre or early internet days when I would be in middle school and I'd have friends who everyone in the school thought they were funny, but they were not funny. What they did is they would remember the lines of every Adam Sandler movie, and then they would come in, repeat those lines that they just saw in whatever movie had just came out. Let's say it's, I don't know, Happy Gilmore, and they would recite those lines during lunch or in between classes, and they got credit because they would get laughs. But their laughs were not, those weren't genuine, authentic laughs. Those were stolen laughs, stolen valor. And this is happening so much today. And this is coming from a guy who I steal so much material from YouTube for all my reels. Like all those little clips in between my reels that I use and the sound effects, I rip those all from other people's YouTube videos. But the way in my mind I compartmentalize it as being the thought that I'm conveying is original. It's mine. I'm just using the little second clips that I steal off of YouTube that I put in my reel to enhance the thought or to visualize the thought that I have. But these people that I know are just sending me all day. I'm getting these DMs. Oh, check out this meme. Check out this reel. I'm like, yeah, but you didn't make that. I appreciate you sending it to me, but do know that I am not giving you credit for being funny or original. You're not getting a sticker 100 A plus on that DM or text that you send me. That is a that you're observing fun. If you're somebody who you put in your stories or you DM someone a meme or something that's funny, you are an observer of funny. But you yourself are not funny. There you go. There is the mind right there of a stand-up comedian. He's like, no, I'm funny. The B-man's funny. But no one else is allowed to be funny. Only me. Only the comedian. So self-centered, self-righteous. Stand-up comedians, we are the worst when it comes to be funny. He's like, wait, you got to cite it. You need footnotes. It's like, dude, just funny is funny. Just send the memes. Hopefully, whoever actually made it gets credit. Did I just do a 180 right there? All right. I'm on you. All right. If you're sending those memes, just know you're not funny. You're an observer and a passer along of funny. Let's get into something that I thought was quite funny on Reddit. Talking about stealing material. This is a post I read on. Actually, this one's not that funny, but we'll try to make it funny because that's what we do here at Verbal Graffiti. Before we get into something I found on Reddit, and I know this is a little late, but Joy Taylor, I'm looking at you and I like you. I like the way you go about your business. That's all I'll say. All right. Back to Verbal Graffiti and something I found on Reddit. Found this on the subreddit for food stamps, which I know many of my viewers here at Verbal Graffiti rely on food stamps, so I'm sure many of you will be able to relate to this one. All right. Can I take my mom off without lying? All right. I've been on EBT for about a year now because I lost my job and can't even get hired at my local gas stations. Yeah, me. I am 27 for reference. I have two children under 10, and we currently live off of God's good graces, my amazing mother, who helps support us and racks up debt so we aren't homeless. She recently retired while still working to help with the income. This change made our benefits go down $600 per month that I literally just cannot afford. Is there any way to take her off without lying? Can I say we don't make meals or shop together anymore? I would prefer not to lie for obvious reasons, but the only option available on the change form is someone moved out. Well, you're in a difficult situation. And if you are a viewer of Verbal Graffiti, you know the B-man and all of us here at Verbal Graffiti, and that all of us just being me and sometimes the pets that are on my lap while I'm film, we are not big fans of the government taxing us. So we are all for you lying on the EBT form to get more money or to get that $600 back that you were getting per month. But before we do that, it's time for me to be critical of you, a single mother. Yes, is it possible to be critical of a single mother in this day and age? Well, probably not, and it's probably why I think I may be shadow banned on all the social media accounts, but I'm going to be critical of you. You find yourself in this position, and I want to ask, why did you get fired a year ago? Why? All right, this is a sob post. It's like, oh, I'm in a terrible down state. I could barely afford food. I have a family. I just got fired last year. I can't even get hired at the gas station. Well, all my before, you know, we help you out with the EBT, I gotta do a little investigative work into your history, which I am not a fan of, and I am very critical of. So why are you not able to get hired anywhere, right? And why did you get fired a year ago? Let's start there. Why did you get fired a year ago? I'm pretty positive, all right? Maybe I'm being, you know, maybe I'm being, what's the correct term? Maybe I not judgmental, maybe, I can't think of a good adjective word. So I'm just going to say it's probably you didn't get fired because you're overqualified and you were working too hard and your employer, they would have had to pay you too much to stay employed. So that's why they let you go. I'm pretty sure that's not why you were let go. My guess is that you probably got fired because you didn't show up to work on time. You called out sick a lot, maybe because of your children and, you know, the situation's time and maybe they got sick and you had to bring them to school and there was conflict with schedules. But again, we'll get to your kids a little later. Maybe your eyes were a little bloodshot while working. You know, maybe were you smoking a doobie right before the shift, like right before you left your Camry to walk into wherever it is you work. You were taking puffs of the doobie and getting a little high to let the edge off while you worked. Maybe you let off to a, maybe you spoke, you know, spoke out of pocket to your manager or your boss. For what, as I pick my nose, you probably did something that was your own fault for getting fired from your job. It's not that you were an exemplary employee. You were either stealing, you weren't showing up on time, you weren't following the rules, you weren't completing the task on time, you weren't being polite to the customers. Whatever it was, like, it's probably your fault for getting fired and having your manager go, get the fuck out of here and never come back. So that's on you. And the fact that you can't get hired anywhere, I just back up a second. I've had several stints of unemployment that lasted over a year, and I've sent my resume. So I do understand. I have been in that predicament of not being able to find any job. But again, I don't have kids of my own. So if I did have kids, I would probably maybe lower my standards. Not standards, but I might, I tried very hard to get employed when I was unemployed. Being unemployed is almost this, like, being unemployed and looking for work, that is a job. Like, that search process of sending out your resume, going on interviews, getting rejected most of the time, that is kind of a full-time job. It's just you're not being paid for it. But if I had kids, I would go to all the gas stations, which I did not go to when I was unemployed. But back to you. All right, it's like, there's something in your work ethic that is making you unemployable, and it's the reason why you lost your previous job. So you got to take some accountability there. So that's just one X I'm giving you for that. So I'm judging you. Yes, the B-man, I am judging you because you are unemployed with two kids. Now let's get to the two kids, right? You're 27, and you have two kids under the age of 10, which let's all be a round of applause for not having kids over the age of 10 when you're 27 years old. That would mean you had to, if they were over 10, you would have had those kids when you were 17 or younger. So we're happy you wait till you're at least 17 to have kids. Hey, we're not judging you for having kids, but all right, you're in a situation where you're living with your mom. So when you had those kids, like, I'm pretty sure you were not thinking about filling out an EBT form to get food stamps when you were getting dicked down by whoever the hell it was who was dicking down that Sloppy Joe vagina, and that guy was using that Sloppy Joe vagina as a spit can for his ejaculation. Like, were you really thinking about the ramifications when you were wrapping your legs around that Chad, that John, and saying, pump me, pump me, pump me, don't pull out, don't pull out. Or maybe you said pull out, but you didn't really mean it. Like, you were enjoying the activity that led to you having two kids. And you didn't do it once. You did it twice, and probably more so. Do you not think about protection? All right, when you were living with your mom and having a job, not able to afford two children on your own. So I gotta be critical of you. Like, who were you fucking? Like, who did you make these babies with? Do you know the guy? Where is he? Did you know his last name when he inserted his semen into your sloppy Joe vagina? You gotta take some accountability for that. It's like, it reminds me years ago when I was living in New York City. I was on the 7 subway, and I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I had a seat. I was in Woodside, or I might have been even a little further out. So I got on the 7 going into Manhattan. I wanted earlier stop, so I had a seat. It was early in the morning, a rush hour traffic. So I had a seat, but it was like standing room only, and there was a lady holding on to the rail, like right in front of me, and I'm there in my work clothes, just boring, a button-down shirt with wrinkled pants, and I'm just there with my backpack, and I packed my lunch because I'm one of those terrible people who refuses to pay for lunch because I'm a cheap fuck. But I'm there, and I'm just kind of, I'm just trying to mind my own business, and the lady with the rail, we get a few stops over, and the thing about this lady, it was very evident that she was pregnant because this was spring or maybe early summer. But, she was wearing clothing, like tight clothing, but she had a belly, and it was just very evident. This wasn't just an overweight lady. No, this was a skinny lady that happened to have a baby inside of her belly or uterus or whatever the hell it is. And we go a couple of stops, and then she finally goes, "Hey, I'm pregnant. Can I have... can I have your seat?" And I looked at her, and in a moment, and I was going to say yes, but in that, there's something in my mind that said, no, you can't have my seat. And I just looked back down at my phone and went, and the reason, and the look on her face, just struck with, I'm pregnant. You're a young, healthy man. You're not going to give me your seat. And here's the thing, you want a seat, but you got fucked. You were taking hot ones in your vagina within the last 6 to 7 months. So you were having raw sex, and you want a seat on the subway, and I'm the bad guy in this situation. In my estimation, you're the greedy person. All right, the lady on the subway, and you. Were you thinking about your mom? All right. When you were taking a hot one from the assistant manager from Aldi's who was fucking you in the back of his truck, and his trunk was full of empty Monster cans, and he has a terrible sleeve of tattoos. When he was just raw on you, and he was like, can I fuck you without Connery? Yeah, go ahead. I make $35,000 a year if I'm lucky and I'm living in my mom in my childhood bedroom. Yeah, go ahead. Fuck me. Put a hot one in me. Put a hot one in that sloppy Joe vagina of mine. Who gives a fuck? My vagina is magic. I can't get pregnant, and you got pregnant twice. All right. And here's the thing, right? B-Man, I am a man of the people, right? I've spent most of my life, almost all my life, living with my parents in their basement, my mom's basement. Very thankful for that. And you can criticize me. You can spit on me for that, and I'll take it all. But there's one thing I've never done, and that's bring another little 8-pound baby into my mother's basement. I've never done that. All right. I've been courteous enough. I've been responsible enough not to do that. Right. A baby of my own or some other floozy who had a baby with another John. It's me. Occasionally there'll be another babe that I bring in here, but no infants or no under two children under 10 are coming in my parents' house because I'm a degenerate. But I'm a responsible degenerate here at Verbal Graffiti. So, I'm very critical, and I'm looking at you. And, I know, I'm telling me, if I'm looking in your purse, right, what am I going to find in your purse? There's probably going to be vape in there. There's going to be a pack of American Spirits. And there's probably going to be some makeup that you stole from Sephora. Yeah? Yeah, you probably steal makeup, right? Not judging, but I am judging. All right. And I just, you give it to sob posts on Reddit, on food stamps. Like, I need money. I need money. Do you have tattoos? You know, that big off-putting tattoo that you have on your inner thigh of a Ren and Stimpy, right? That, or whatever tattoo. Like, how much did that cost? Maybe you should have thought about feeding your children before you got that repulsive tattoo a few inches below your vagina. That sloppy Joe vagina you got. So I'm just very critical of your past because you were not really thoughtful of the situation you were putting yourself in, your mother in, and most importantly, your two children who are now in a position where I want nothing for the best for your children, although they're probably annoying as fuck, but you're putting them in a very difficult spot, right? Me, I was very blessed to have a great family. I've never needed to be on food stamps, so I'm very thankful for that. But the reason why your kids are not in a position or in a very good starting position in life is because of your own actions, because of those hot ones you took inside yourself when maybe you weren't old enough or financially independent enough to have those children. All right. Enough with all me being critical of you. Like we said here at Verbal Graffiti, we're all degenerates. You are clearly maybe the most degenerate out of all of us. With all that reprimanding that I did of you right now, yes, you got to do whatever you can do to steal money from our government. I am not going to be critical of you for fudging some of the statistics on the EBT form to get more money for you and your children, as long as it's going to your children and the food that they need. Now, I am, like I said, I've been fortunate enough in my life where I've always been able to have a hot meal on the table. So like, I've never really seen an EBT form. But I'm all for it. Like, you got to lie. You got to scrape. You got to be deceitful. Meld all of this lying together to get as much money as you can. Say your mother lives in the shed on the form. Say that your mother died. Make up a social security number so that you have a third child. Go to your children's elementary school or daycare or whatever the fuck they go every day and just pick a nice child that kind of resembles your two children and take a bunch of photos of the four of you together so that you can go to the EBT office and say that you had a third child so you get more money for that child that's not really yours. Whatever you got to do to lie to our government, to Uncle Sam, to get more money from them, like, you're the type of person who should be getting tax dollars. It's not, like, I had a friend. My friend, he was getting a PhD. His name is Mike. I won't say his last name. But he was on food stamps while getting his PhD. And, like, that is not the type of person who is supposed to be getting food stamps. Food stamps are for families and individuals who are in, you know, hard situations, are really trying to get their life together. It's not for somebody who's getting a PhD and already has multiple degrees and is very, has an IQ and is healthy enough to actually work and to make money for groceries himself. Like, you need the money. And Uncle Sam, they fuck us over. Uncle Sam fucks us over so much. Like, when you think about how much we pay in taxes, whatever bracket you're in, you're paying that tax, and then you're paying the income tax, and then you're paying the gas tax, and then you're paying sales tax, and then you probably don't own property, but if you own property, you have a property tax. If you have a car, there's tax on that. So whatever money you're making, probably over 50% of the money you make is getting taxed. And then the Fed is making or printing more money, which is devaluing any money that you save. So you need to almost make your money three times over just to stay even. That's Econ 101 here at Verbal Graffiti. So yeah, you gotta fuck over. Like, so many people have fucked you over in your life, including the guy who's putting hot ones in your vagina and made babies with you. But so just lie. lie on the forms. Well, when I was in middle school, and this was when I was in middle school, it was very, very early internet, and e-commerce was just it was beginning. It was the wild, wild west. People didn't trust e-commerce when it first came out. So what I would do in middle school is I would try to buy something online, but I didn't have a credit card. But early e-commerce is, it would just come up and say, put in your credit card number. And I would make up 16 numbers, just hoping, well, maybe I'll get it right. And then someone will get fucked, will get the bill, but I'll get it. And then the person who gets the bill, they don't know who I am. So, but, and that was before I knew what the credit cards and the Visa, and they each kind of have similar numbers. I didn't know that, so it never worked for me. But yeah, just make up a social security number, make up a third child, lie about the death of a parent or someone else in your family. Do whatever you got to do to make more money or steal more money from social services and U.S. government. Do whatever you got to do, right? And I will applaud you for stealing money from the government. Like, think about all the people in the Senate. They make, what, $200,000 a year, yet they're all multimillionaires. How does that happen? How does that happen? Well, they're money laundering with our tax dollars. I don't know how they're doing it. If it's going through Ukraine or through another government or through the stocks, I don't know how they're doing it. But they're all multimillionaires, so they're all fucking this over, stealing our money. So I'm okay for a single mother of two children under 10 trying to fuck over the government and get some more money from them, from all of our tax dollars that are combined together, which I don't give much to because I don't make any money here at Verbal Graffiti. So I'm all for you getting as much money as you can through being lies, fudging the numbers, being deceitful. I'll look the other way. I'll look the other way when you write three children on the form. So go get that money. Stop making babies till you get yourself financially independent or responsible. Your first 27 years, like, it's time. Get it together. Let's go look at some photos. Before we get into segment two of episode 98, I need to say, please, please like, subscribe, share the link to this episode with somebody who is needy and sick at your most nearest children's hospital. Also, the B-Man, I need to make an addendum to a statement I made in episode 97, or maybe it was episode 96. I had mistakenly said that the lovely, the talented, the bodacious Alexis Texas is not a talented podcast host. Well, I'm here to say that after doing a week of thorough research into all podcast hosts who are in that industry, I am completely wrong. I have never been more incorrect in my life. Alexis Texas, you are actually perhaps the most talented podcast host of all the ladies in the industry you are involved in. And as punishment, if you're listening, Alexis, if you feel as though you need to degrade me and use me as your bottom, I am willing to do so. I deserve punishment for inaccurately describing you as a host. You are actually... no kidding. After doing I've been watching a lot of podcasts of ladies in the industry trying to cut up clips that I could use in my reels. And watching everyone else's podcast, Alexis Texas is clearly one of the most engaging hosts of all the women. So, Alexis, I really am sorry. I hope you will forgive me. You probably won't see this, but if you do, I am wrong, as I often am. Should we get into the next segment, or is there something else I kind of want to pontificate on? Yes, there is something. There is something. I was out last night. There's another comedian, young guy, compared to me. He was 25. He got a breakup. Now he's dating, or, you know, fucking, bagging another babe. And he was showing me a photo of her. This face, like, PG. She's very hot, very attractive, brunette. Like, I won't get it. She's just a hot babe. And this guy, He's like, I can't believe she's my friend, the comedian. He's like, I can't believe she's fucking me. Like, I don't know why she's fucking me. And I go to him, and I'm purposely not saying his name because I don't want to call him out. But he was like, I can't believe. And I look at him and go, why? Like, you're an awesome guy. And I was breaking it down. For, like, I was being his hype man. And I was being authentic when I was saying this. Like, I wasn't bullshit. I'm like, listen, you're 25. You spent 4 years in L.A. doing stand-up comedy. Your family owns one of the most successful breweries in Connecticut. You smoke weed. You drink. You're funny. You get on stage every night. We were hanging with you after the show. You were citing movies and cartoons, and you were engaging, and you were holding court in a group of guys who were all trying to be alpha guys. Like, you, like, she's lucky to be, to have you fucking her. Like, she should be on her knees, or she should be the one telling her friends, why is this guy fucking me? Like, he's a comedian. He's out. He's social. Like, I can't believe I have such a great guy. Like, this is, like, she's lucky to have you, not the other way around. So you gotta rewire your brain and stop thinking you're the one who's lucky to be with the babe. Like, no, she's lucky to be with you. All right, let's get into something I found on Reddit. This is our second Reddit post of episode 98. Comes from the subreddit Uber Eats Drivers. We've all had altercations with them. Picking up food from Picking up food for mall food courts. I don't even think I need to explain myself here. These places shouldn't even be an option to pick up food from, especially this close to Christmas. Malls are a joke. Keeping it 100, I 100% agree with everything you said in that post. Now, prior to saying this post, I said we've all had altercations with Uber Eats drivers. I must confess, that is a lie. I have never used Uber Eats. I don't. Couple of reasons why. One, or A, I'm cheap. I'm frugal. I will go get whatever fast food or whatever food it is. I'll go pick it up myself. And B, the reason why I've never used Uber Eats is because I do not trust Uber Eats drivers, anything about the Uber Eats driver, I don't trust, and I don't want anywhere near the food that I am going to eat. Like, my friends all use Uber Eats, and I've been at their houses, like, watching football when the Uber Eats, like, the wings and the pizza comes, and it's never been. The Uber Eats drivers never driving a Mercedes or a nice car. It's always beat up with scratches, and there's bad bumper stickers, and the guy's never dressed well. That Uber Eats, like, I don't want that guy touching the bag that has my food in it, because I know human nature. I know. Whenever I've been driving a Camry or whatever car, I drive a Camry now, whatever car I'm driving, if there is McDonald's in the passenger seat, even if it's not for me, I am going to eat the fries. Not all of them, but I'm going to eat, you know, four or five, just enough where whoever the French fries are for are not going to suspect that I ate them. So that's not me. That's human nature. If you smell McDonald's French fries in your car, even if your job is not to eat those, you're going to eat them. And that's why I don't use Uber Eats. And everything about, like, all right, like, we all know when you get fast food, there is a good chance that the people making your food are fucking you. They're fucking it up for you. Like, they're spitting on the food. They're not washing their hands. They're wiping pancakes between their butt cheeks. Like, they don't like the position they're in life. So they're going to take that out on you, the consumer, the patron in the store. So I don't trust the person making the food. And I'm trying to eliminate the number of people who interact with my food before I eat my food. So that's another reason why I don't use Uber Eats, because that's another person with his or her dirty, filthy semen, germs, you could see the germs on the actual fingers touching my food before it gets to me. So I want to eliminate that person. Goodbye, Uber Eats. I am not paying you for your services. I will go pick up the food myself. Like, I've seen those cars. I've seen the cars that Uber Eats drivers drive, and there's a, like, every Uber Eats driver I've ever seen, like, there is a good chance that he is currently high while driving, and if not, was hotboxing his car, like, right before he gave the, I'll pick up that order. And heaven forbid, he's boinking his girlfriend in the back seat, putting hot ones in her, and then my order comes up from the mall court, and he's like, oh, okay, I'll go pick it up. Like, I don't want any of that stink that's in his car, whether it's drugs, stank puss from his girlfriend. I do not want his $3 air freshener dangling off the rearview mirror, like, within feet from my McDonald's order, which is always a 3 McDoubles and a large fry and a vanilla milkshake. I don't want that interacting and seeping into those empty calories that I'm going to barf down, to scarf down when it gets to my house and it's not even cold or hot anymore. Ah, sorry about that. It's just, I don't need that. And it's expensive because I'm cheap, so I don't need that. Also, but now actually, so with that preamble out of the way, I do agree with you. Like, there should be laws when it comes to Uber Eats and what you can order and what you cannot order. One that I think of that's kind of similar to this with the mall food court is an Uber Eats driver should not have to go into a store to get to the food place to get the order. What I mean by that, we've all been to a Walmart or big box store, and you go into that store, but in the Walmart is a Subway. Like, an Uber Eats driver should not have to go into a Walmart to get to the Subway to get the order. Whatever food the Uber Eats driver is getting, it should be the store. Like, you walk into the fast food joint, and that is the store. That's rule number one. And number two, or law two for Uber Eats, should be the location. You should be able to get to the location using the driving GPS. Like, Uber Eats drivers drive. They should not have to put in the GPS walking directions. Once you park your car at the mall, you get out of your car, and then you go GPS. How do I get to the food court? And you put the walk, and you say, okay, 7 minutes. Once you're putting walking directions into GPS, you should not have to pick it up like that. That should be illegal. That transaction should not happen. So I am on your side, yes. And mall court food is disgusting. No, now that I think of all the mall food court, the only mall food court that you should be allowed to take out of the mall is the pretzel maker, because those fuck. But anything else, if you try to doggy bag mall food court, mall security should stop you. They should put a lock on your tire, and you should not be allowed to leave the premises until you pay that $150 fine. Any person who's trying to doggy bag mall food court, that is somebody who needs some time in timeout. Think about what you're doing. That is not good. But this is why I would not be successful as an Uber Eats driver. I'm not, but if I were, because I got to imagine most Uber Eats drivers, when this order comes in, they open up their phone, and they say, what, mall food court, Chinese food? Like, what the fuck? And nope, and they reject that order. Not me. Because my curiosity would get the most of me. Because I'd see that order, mall food court, food, and immediately I go, well, I gotta see who this guy is. Like, I gotta know
What kind of gremlin, right? What kind of potato head is ordering mall food court through Uber Eats? Like, I got to see, what's his living situation? How obese is his girlfriend? How shaggy is his carpeting? How many holes are worn out in his sweatpants? How funky does his breath smell? I have this vision in my head of what this person looks like. And I got to know, like, how accurate that vision is. So I would take that order every time and lose so much money. But, depravity respects depravity. All right. With all that out of the way, let's continue reading The Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. What page are we on? I should have checked before this episode. All right. No. Ooh, we're pretty far. Wow. Are we on... 63. All right, we're at the very top of page 63, if you are reading along. Ah, she cried as he drove into her clutching cuntle flesh up the hill. Yes! Alan ground his pelvis into the responsive flesh beneath him and began to fuck into her with long, savage strokes. Stella returned his fucking thrust for thrust, driving her hungry cunt up to meet in an instinctive rhythm. "Shove your finger in my ass," she hissed through clenched teeth. Alan, consumed by uncontrollable waves of passion, did as he was asked without question. He reached down and searched with his middle finger between the desperately working hills of her buttocks until he found a tiny, puckered ring. He jabbed at it for a moment, and the meeting with resistance thrust his hand forward hard until the tight, rubbery ring gave way and his finger slid inside up the first knuckle. "Hi!" she screamed. "I love it! That's it, baby! Hurt me! Hurt me!" She groaned wildly under him, twisting and gyrating from the intense pleasure pain of the double impalement. Alan was stunned by the staggering wantonness of this torrid female. He had never met anyone like this in his entire life, and she excited him deeply. He was never able to fuck his demure young wife like this. Never. The demonic drive that Stella called forth in him was just what he needed. Just the tonic for his frustration, and he reveled like a lewd satyr in a debauchery. He rammed her without mercy, his hand sinewy buttocks swinging back and forth, his finger grinding into her burning asshole. Every muscle of his body strained and rippled with hot desire. He was as strong as a bull. "Ah!" Stella cried out in painful ecstasy. The harder he abused her, the more he fucked her savagely and drove his finger into her anus, and the more excited she became. She lost herself completely as his iron-hard cock tore mercilessly along the steaming, quaking walls of her undulating, grasping pussy. "Yes! Yes! Oh, baby!" Alan drove into her with savage force of a hurricane. His body arched in ecstasy as his enlarged, wet ball swung obscenely and slapped against her wet crack as they filled with white, bubbling cum. Stella felt shuddering tremors thrill with her rivering body. Her skin was bathed in tingling delight. The throbbing in her raging pussy grew into earthquake proportions, and she rocked with her pulsing hot passion. "Oh, oh!" she shrieked, thrashing madly. "I'm coming! Oh, fuck! Fuck! Fuck!" The adulterous young husband was at the busting point now, and in the next split second, his bloated cock exploded with cum. Go suck a fat one.